But I know the Eckleberries are sick. I know the Rowlands are sick. Pray for all those at home as well. I know Steve is still struggling. I'm not entirely sure. Did Bill catch it, or is he just down from the cancer? I mean, that's hard to hear, but I praise the Lord that it's taken this long. You know, I praise the Lord it's taken this long. Lord's truly blessed. Continue to pray for him as well. He's got his final radiation tomorrow. So praying that goes well, and that goes. You know, praying that goes. Brother Dennis is out in the parking lot right now. Pray for him as he's still not feeling well. He says it's gotten down to his chest. And you know how that is. That is just difficult all around. But without further ado, go ahead and grab your Bibles. Go to Titus chapter 1 and verse 7. Titus chapter 1 and verse 7. While you are turning there, I'll finish up a thought we had on 1 Timothy 3:7 as we are looking at the qualifications of a pastor. The last thing that it says is that he must be of good report. He must be of good report. He should not have a bad reputation around town, not with the creditors, not with the neighbors, not with the businesses in the area. He shouldn't be a brawler, somebody who's out there causing trouble. He shouldn't be out there foul-mouthed or taking advantage of his situation. It breaks my heart when you see on the news a pastor arrested for this or a pastor arrested for that. And then what does he do? Brings up the fact that he's a pastor. Oh, you got to let me loose. There's that old adage of, you know, a pastor gets pulled over by the police officer and he's just got to tell the police officer who he is. Don't bring that up. Don't represent the Lord poorly that way. If you did something wrong, you take that on the wrist. That's the way it should be. If anybody were to break into his house or if anybody were to cut him off speeding, he would want swift and undiluted justice for that person. But if he's out there driving like a maniac, oh, don't forget, I'm a pastor, so he must have a good reputation. The reputation of every church member, pastor or no, right, is a reputation that reflects upon the Lord. It is something that shows back, hey, we claim to know God. We claim to know him as our Father. We claim Jesus Christ as our Savior. We should not be using that as a shield, but our good reputation should be what we bring to every situation, so that's what we reflect back on the Lord. We ought to be reflecting back onto the Lord, not using Christianity as some kind of evidence of us being a good guy. No, if you're a Christian, you will be a good guy. You'll be out there doing good things and not having issues. And if there are issues, you're handling them quickly and promptly. You're one to apologize. You're one to make things proper. We talked about not being a novice. When it comes down to having a good report, being a novice will get you in trouble with that. Not having the proper knowledge or control over oneself will develop a bad reputation. Right? And again, it is not the show that we put out there. We must be genuine. That reputation must be a genuine one. Not one purchased or with sins hidden underneath the mat. No, they must be pure all the way through. You don't have to worry about having a good reputation. You have to worry about honoring God. And I use that word worry not as a, oh no, oh no. That's what you got to be concerned about. Be concerned about obedience to God, and you will have a good reputation. Don't worry about what people are thinking. Be concerned about what God says you should be doing and what you should be about. So again, without that good report, there'll be issues. We were talking on Friday about Bill Gothard. Bill Gothard is a Baptistic person. However, he went off, did his own ministry type thing, as I'm often railing against. But he has very conservative, very Baptistic points of view. However, this was probably back in the early, late 90s, early 2000s. You know, my pastor got up and said, hey, listen, we don't let this Gothard stuff in there. Why? Because there was a lot of stuff that he taught that was extra biblical. There was a lot of stuff that he taught that wasn't biblical. And he said, well, we're not going to have it. So he went into the church. We had a library at the church. And he pulled out all those books. He said, hey, listen, we're not teaching some of these things. And I won't go into all of his wrong kind of doctrine. But we talked about this. I said, one of the things that I noticed back when people would bring in, because people were bringing in, they were sharing stuff. And there was members of the church that would give me DVDs and tapes and things like that of Bill Gothard's teaching. And I always tried to figure out as a young man why, whenever they'd have the kids come up, it was always little blonde girls that were coming up. They'd never have any boys up there, never have any other than little blonde girls up there. Well, I said I didn't hear anything about it yet. I did look it up after Friday, and guess what? They brought allegations against the man back. It was almost 10 years ago now. They brought allegations against him. Where they went, I don't know. But sure enough, listen, when something don't look right about a leader, something doesn't look right about a pastor, typically, there's something underneath. Now we can't say always. We can't say always. Sometimes it's just it's a misunderstanding or something just, you know, maybe it caught you funny, but it was an illusion. It's not really there. But man, if there's something weird like that, right, a man must have a good reputation. He must be mindful and careful. And I appreciate you ladies that come up here. We've had this happen since I've gotten here, where ladies will come up to clean this or do that, and they'll send me a message. Hey, pastor, I'm coming up, and I see that you're there, giving me an opportunity to go. I appreciate that, and I hope you appreciate that I'm not hanging around the building all creepy-like while you're in here doing whatever it is you need to do. We ought to appreciate the hit. There ought to be things there. You feel safe, I feel safe, we all feel safe. Never in 1,000 years would we accuse. It doesn't matter if we would or would not accuse somebody of something. Don't allow the scenario, don't allow the opportunity for a bad reputation or something that looks bad to happen. We want to make sure that it's clear. Reminds me of a joke, and I got to hurry, but it reminds me of a joke about a nun and a priest. A nun and a priest were traveling together, and they were in the middle of a snowstorm, and they find a cabin, and they run into the cabin, and it wasn't very nice, it wasn't very right, but it was a snowstorm outside, and it was either stay in the cabin together or die. So he let her take the bed, and he slept on the floor, and he had found a sleeping bag, cuddled up into the sleeping bag, and he went to sleep, and she was on the bed, and she cried out, I'm cold. So the priest got up, and he got her a blanket, and he put it down there. He went back, and just as he was about to doze off again, Father, I'm cold. So he goes and gets another blanket and puts it over her. And finally, he's laying there, and she goes, Father, I'm cold. So he goes, you know what? You know, it's just the two of us here. What? No one would ever know what goes on between us. So why don't we pretend just for the night that we're husband and wife? And the nun sat there for a moment. She goes, okay, we can do that. And he goes, good. Get up and get your own blanket. Quit bothering me. We ought not to allow rotten scenarios or things that could look bad to happen around us. We have more control over our actions than what we would think. And it's not just about fear of what people say. You don't want to create a bad scenario. Right? And I think that's where we got ourselves in trouble as God's people, is we started preaching about things from the light of what will other people think of what we're doing. That should never be the scenario. It should always be about what scenario are we creating, what opportunity are we creating for sin to actually take place. You following me on this? Why on earth would I be in this situation or that situation? Why on earth would I be down at the bar getting a burger? What would people think? No. What if one day you're having it rough? You get some bad news, you're having trouble at work, or you're having trouble in your marriage, and all of a sudden you look over and you see, I mean, it's right there, and you hear what these modern-day Christians say, that drinking's fine. What if I just had a little drink and I didn't get drunk? What if I just had a little bit of this? Why would you be in a scenario where if you got weak, you'd give in? You might be strong today, but you don't know what manner of being you'll be in when you create the bad kind of scenario for yourself. We must be diligent, again, about our behavior. I know I say that all the time, but it's more about the scenario we're creating for sin and our attitude towards God than it is about what other people think. So a pastor may be hated for his doctrine, but he must, however, be respected for his integrity, honesty, and testimony. And that should be true for every child of God. Now, Titus 1:7, where hopefully you've been patiently waiting for me. None jokes aside. Verse 7 says, "For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed." Now, we looked at blameless before, so let's look at self-willed. When it talks about self-willed, it's exactly what it looks like. Someone who's not running on his own decision-making. Someone who's not doing things specifically his way. That was one of the things that my pastor pushed upon me and pushed upon me. Listen to the Lord. Be patient. Don't be quick. And I think the reason why he pushed it so heavily on me when I was young is because aren't we all just a little impulsive? We come up with ideas. We say we ought to do this and we ought to do that. And sometimes, you know, I'll push the brakes a little bit. And I know sometimes it's not always been popular when I've hit the brakes on certain things. We've got things we've talked about doing we still haven't implemented. Why? Lord ain't given me peace into how to approach it. I haven't found the right answer that I'm looking for. And you've got to know, it's not about you. Believe me, there have been 100 things in the last 3-ish years that I would have loved to have just done. Hey, listen, we ought to do this and we ought to do that. And I've tried some things. And I've seen the way that it's worked out. And really, it comes down to what does God want? Because we don't always do things the way I want them to go. More often than not, we end up doing them in a way that I can look back on and say, that was the godly way to have done it. I didn't look exactly the way I wanted it to because the Lord intervened here and the Lord intervened there and he intervened over here. But it came out exactly the way that it should have. And I've seen that time in and time again with different stuff we've done. Hey, that's not what I wanted it to do. That's not what I was looking forward to. But look, that came together in a way I couldn't have imagined. I couldn't have pulled off. And that's very important for the pastor to understand he is at the Lord's will. And folks, please, the church, I know I keep saying, hey, the pastor, and then the church members too, but listen to me on this. The church must understand that the pastor is according to the Lord's will. So if the pastor understands that, then the church will have an easier time doing it. It's when the pastor proves himself impulsive and reckless and I want to use the word waffling, but somebody who's just not, they're not secure in their decision making. The church is going to have a hard time saying, okay, he's following the Lord's will. No, he's wishy-washy. But if the pastor knows we must abide by the Lord's will and he practices that, right? He's going to get it wrong here or there, but for the most part, his steps, like everybody else, are ordered by the Lord. Then the church can look over and say, we understand. We get that. And that is the relationship that must be between those two. But again, it is deeply affected by whether or not the pastor has that heart of it's not about what I want. It can never be my way or the highway. But at the same time, the church must see, this looks like sound biblical wisdom. We must follow it. I've used this illustration before. The pastor is a part of the church, the way the handle is a part of the pot, right? What does the Lord use to move the church? The pastor, right? And if he's not right, you ever have that where the handle for your pot or your pan has gotten loose, and it doesn't feel very secure? That's what a lot of churches can be sometimes. Either the pastor ain't secure or the church ain't secure, right? Those two got to be tight together. So when the Lord reaches down and he's moving that church around, he's moving it. And again, what is the pastor? He's part of the church. He's not above it. He's not beyond it. He's just what the Lord grabs a hold of to move things. So he can't be self-willed. And if he's not self-willed, the church must recognize that this must be how the Lord is leading. And I know sometimes it can be very frustrating. Well, why don't we just do this? And why don't we just do that? And why don't we? Because it's not my timing. I tell you what, there are things that I could do that if they put me into it at work, hey, Matt, we need to canvass this area. We need to reach this many phone calls. We need to reach this many people. Believe me, I was the guy you wanted on your team. I could speed things up real fast, and I could make a lot of decisions. But you know what I was doing along with those many decisions? I was making a lot of mistakes. Why? Because haste makes what? Waste. That ain't a biblical principle, but it sure is one. It's just as sure as gravity, isn't it? Right? So yeah, if it's not my dime, I'll do whatever I want. Man, we'll do it quick. You want that done? You want that done? I'll do it good too. You won't have any questions about it. But this is the Lord's stuff. If it was my will, yeah, sure, things would be much different. But I can't promise you they'd be any good. But if we do things God's way and we rely on Him for answers, well, then we can be sure. Then we can be sure. So he must not be a man of self-will. One who sees, hey, listen, you know, this is the way it ought to be done. Now, again, trust his wisdom, trust his knowledge. But that wisdom and knowledge has to be godly. Has to be godly or it's worthless. I've known some pastors that have gone from running a business to running a church. You can't run a church like a business. It just don't work that way. Right? And they'll get up and they'll tout that and they'll believe that, but that's not the way that it is. You know, when you've got churches that have business meetings that, you know, I've got managers of things coming together and look more like a business's business meeting. You got some issues there. I almost don't like the phrase business meeting, but it fits to what we're doing. We're doing the Lord's business. Right? If anybody can use that word, it should be us. So a man who is not self-willed, he must do God's will at all time. James 4:17 gives us the phrase that should eclipse all of our plans. And every planner and every schedule you have, James 4:17 should be there. If the Lord will. If the Lord will. Lord willing, we'll go do this. Lord willing, we'll go do that. Why? Because if the Lord ain't willing, it ain't going to happen. If the Lord ain't willing, you'll get a flat tire. If the Lord ain't willing, you'll get sick. Lord ain't willing, storm will come, whatever. The Lord has many ways to stop our plans. So in everything, Lord, what would you have us to do? And it's not just about, hey, will the Lord allow us to do it or not? Lord, what would you have us do? You know, I've got this little girl at home. She's about to turn 3. Can you believe that? And she's trying. Oh, she's trying. She'll look over at me and she'll do something just to see if it's okay. One of her favorite things to do is I'll be eating and she'll have been done before. Like if I come home after they've eaten, I'll be eating dinner, and then she'll come home and she'll look at me, and she'll just grab something off my plate. And is this okay? Is this okay? And then she'll walk away. And many of us, that's what we do with the Lord. Can I have this? Is this okay? Is this okay? It's like we're trying stuff that we can get away with. That's not what we ought to be. Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what is right in your eyes? To only strive to do the things that God will bless. And in things where we don't know, Lord willing, tomorrow we'll go grocery shopping. I can't find in the Bible whether or not you should go grocery shopping on a Sunday, a Monday, or a Thursday. There's nothing in the Bible tell you when. But I'll tell you this, Lord willing, this is what we'd like to do. Please bless this attempt. So you must not be self-willed, and we'll be done right there. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful for your word and the things that it teaches. And Father, I pray that you help me.